Good morning, everyone. My name is Ted Van Arkel, Chairman of the Warehouse Group. We're in the Deutsche Group offices, and with us, we've got two representatives from Deutsche, Craig and Mark Powell, our Group CEO, and our CFO, Stephen Small. So welcome to all for this teleconference call this morning and for the release of the Warehouse Group's interim result and strategic update, which we will talk you through very shortly. The documents we are referring to are available on the NZX website and will be available on the company's website later this morning. I've already introduced Mark Powell and Stephen Small. They will be talking very shortly. So the introduction is here from the chairman, and I'll read it through to you as follows. The Warehouse Group has actively taken steps to reshape itself over the past 2 years. We have a clear growth strategy in all of our retail brands. We have made good progress with a focus on 4 group strategic priorities, which are keep the red core strong, grow non-red to be as large as red, be the leading multi-channel retailer in New Zealand, leverage group competencies and scale. As part of leveraging group competencies and scale, we have identified an opportunity which is expected to provide material earnings to the group in the medium term. We have added financial services as our 5th group strategic priority. Let me now ask Mark to come forward and make his presentation.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'll be working through the PowerPoint deck that's available on the NZX website. I'll refer to page numbers as I go through. There's a lot to cover this morning, so as I refer to some of those page numbers, hopefully that will be helpful for you. So firstly, I'm on page 4, which is the executive summary. I'm going to really cover 4 key areas today. There's the interim result, which I'll talk to. There's the strategic progress in our 4 key strategic priorities. Then we're going to I'm going to talk about the development into financial services, and then how that links to the capital raise that we've also announced this morning. So that's the overall executive summary, and I'll get into the interim result now straight away. So I'm moving to page 6 to talk about the Warehouse Group, TW Group, FY14 interim result. If you look at the interim result there, the change shape of the result compared to even a year ago is very clear. The growth initiatives in the red and blue sheds are coming through well. The acquisition of Noel Leeming's been gone extremely well. And we've also now got Tapiro 7 Group, giving us an outdoor and adventure sport retail brand. And there's been a number of multi-channel initiatives that are announced over the year. All that adds up to group sales in the half being up about 29.5%. Group gross margin was down about 250 basis points. That's largely to do with mix. As we've got some lower margin areas with Noel Leeming in particular coming into that mix. Trading profit, which is represents our operating profit generated by our retail brands, and which is the key driver strategically, was down 3.1%. We signaled that quite clearly in updates to the market earlier recently, and was almost entirely due to the red sheds quarter one, that's August, September, October, gross margin impact as we were integrating a number of new ranges, etc. We said at the time that we felt that was a short-term issue, and that proved to be the case as we saw a good recovery in the second quarter coming through. Our reported NPAT was lower than the prior year, largely due to the significant gains on disposals of properties last year. And I think we can say there's been strong cash flows as well. So the adjusted NPAT was in line with recent guidance, and the trading profit was down 3.1%. But when we come to look at the individual brands, I think we're very comfortable that it's in line with the strategic levers for the future. You've then got adjusted and reported results. You've got the difference there that you can look at. We can take questions on that later, but I think that's pretty straightforward on the difference between reported and adjusted on page 7. On page 8 is our balance sheet. Again, gearing slightly down, and net debt. We're comfortable with the balance sheet. The capital raised today is all about the future growth opportunities in financial services that we see. And so the balance sheet in and of itself is in a good position there. Cash flow, again, page 9, strong operating cash flow in the half, as you'd expect from a retail business like us. So that's the headlines on the overall result there. I'm now going to go into each of the retail brands. And again, those of you who have been on these calls over the last few years, I think the fact, you know, we're going to go through four areas here, four retail brands, shows how the scope of the business and the reshaping of the business is coming through. So firstly, the red sheds, the iconic red sheds. On page 12 there, for the red sheds, you can see sales are up 6.2%, about 53 million. Same store sales for the half of 4.1%. A very encouraging 4.1% same store sales. That's 12 quarters of growth now. And actually, you know, the first time for over a decade that we've had over 4% same store sales in a half, and we've had 12 quarters of growth like that. So that's very encouraging from a point of view of the strategic initiatives we've been taking. Also encouraging in the half was that in the early stages of this strategy, which really kicked off when we announced in September 2011, in the early stages, growth in red was driven more by basket size. What we're starting to see now is much more growth driven by transaction, which is telling us more people are coming into our stores. As we increasingly roll out the improvements in the store infrastructure and the store environment, and we're now about two-thirds of the store base is what we'd say is on-brand, representative of the brand well. So we're over two-thirds of the way through that program. We're starting to see more people coming in. There was the reduction in 40 basis points in the gross margin in the half. Again, that was entirely due to the second, the first quarter, August, September, October. And the second quarter Q1 margin was above last year and was in line with what we said, that the first quarter was more of a one-off in that. In slides 13 and 14, you've got more detail on the red sheds result. I think what I'd say is that the well-signaled strategy of improving the brand position, investing in the stores, improving our products, improving our prices, improving our promotions is contributing to that positive sales driver. We now need to see more of that translating and being leveraged into profit growth. The emphases will change more into efficiency as we're starting to still keep building that sales momentum and really positioning ourselves in terms of the brand position of House of Barnes Home Essentials. But I think from a strategic driver's point of view, I'd say we're on track and we're comfortable with how that's tracking. Moving on to the warehouse stationery, slide 16. A business close to my heart, having been CEO of Warehouse Stationery from 2009 to 2011. Warehouse Stationery, I would say, has had an excellent result. Total sales growth of 8.6%. Same-store sales increased 4.9% in the half. That's 18 quarters of growth and is very pleasing overall. And we're seeing the profit leverage coming through there with an operating profit increase of 28%. This has really been driven by the rebranding, which happened last year. A lot of people have noticed that. It's very contemporary. It brings us right on trend, really, in terms of how the look and feel of the business. And I think the strategy of Work, Study, Create, Connect is really resonating with the customer base there, and the results speak for themselves. On to Noel Leeming. We've now had Noel Leeming in our ownership for about 15 months, and it's been a year with a lot of change. Very pleasing result. Total from continuing operations, sales has gone up 14%. Same store sales comparative is 9.3%. So very, very positive. Margin growth as well. Overall, so very pleased with the performance of that business in terms of its first year in our ownership. The Bond and Bond, as we rolled that under Noel Leeming, closed some stores, went extremely well. Our commitment to the team that there be no redundancies, I think was exactly the right thing in terms of team morale, and those extra team members in the existing Noel Leeming stores are really in help driving sales as well. So again, on strategy, a lot more to come. Really, we haven't really started the investment program and rebranding of the stores there. That kicks in at the beginning of next year more. And I think just like in Warehouse Stationery, we'll see more positive impact coming through as we position that business, you know, as passionate experts, the only New Zealand-owned consumer electronics and appliance retailer. And I think customers are responding to that. Torpedo 7. Torpedo 7 on page 20. Torpedo 7 Group really started with the actual acquisition last March of Torpedo 7. We built around that a number of strategic acquisitions. Number One Fitness in September, Shotgun and R&R Sport in December. And really now the process there, the transition going forward there, is about pulling that together into a real omni-channel outdoor adventure sport retailer, where we've got a store base with R&R that will be fully integrated with our online base and integrating Shotgun and Number One Fitness as well. And so early days, very early days, considering two of those acquisitions were only in December, encouraging progress, but now really unfolding that strategy over the next year. But we're confident we'll build on the growth we've seen there. So page 21, summarizing it in terms of ourselves, I think we are a reshaped group, is the phrase we've used, compared to where we were 3 years ago. I think momentum is back in the business as well. And the red sheds, has delivered, the strategy is delivering the growth we needed. We now need to leverage more of that into profit growth from efficiency. We're two-thirds away through the store investment program, but on strategy and going well. Blue, as I've said, very pleasing result, and shows actually a good example of the strategic logic applied over a four-and-a-half-year period now in that business that we're really applying across a number of other retail brands. Noah Leeming, the first year of ownership, pleasing, with good, strong sales growth as well. And about to start the journey fully with a complete omnichannel business with Torpedo 7, which we're particularly excited about. So, moving on to page 23 and really the look forward now. If you look at page 23, the strategic priorities that have driven us over the last 2.5 years, I think you can see a lot of evidence of them coming through. Keeping the red core strong, growing non-red, being leading multi-channel retailer, and we're really starting to see good leverage of group competencies and scale. When you look at that leverage, one of the key game changers that we've seen with the acquisition of Noah Leeming in particular is the scope of us in financial services. We have the potential to build a significant financial services business that offers a range of products across our group. And that's why we've added that as a fifth strategic priority today, and you can see that added on page 24. Page 25 is an important page, and these next couple of pages I'll talk to in a bit more detail. The new strategic priority of financial services, to be a leading New Zealand retail financial services company. Currently, we do offer financial services via an existing joint venture in Red, and in Noah Leeming and Warehouse Stationery, we do it via third parties. The acquisition of Noah Leeming has really changed our scale and the potential there. Today, if you look at the third parties on JV, there's a nominal portfolio of about $400 million in financial services. We only receive a small proportion of the returns from that at the moment because it's largely not our portfolio. We've got a number of partners, and we feel we've now got the appropriate scale and breadth to offer products ourselves. And we've looked at this strategically now for over a year, looking at various options. And where we've landed is that the best option strategically is for us to have our own captive financial services business, hence the fifth strategic priority. So on to page 26, you know, what do we need to do to be successful? How have we landed where we've landed? Well, the first thing, we need scale. Well, we've got that. We've got that already existing in the business with 1.3, 1.5 million people a week walking through our doors, giving us a great distribution network. And a lot of our product areas are being big ticket where the availability of appropriate finance helps people be able to purchase products that they otherwise would not be able to afford. That needs to be done appropriately, and we as a group, as always, are very minded on how we do that and do it appropriately. We feel that that base gives us the ability to have a portfolio within 5 years of $600 million. We think that's a conservative estimate. A portfolio that size would be equivalent to F&P Finance, and there's benchmarks out there about what the profitability you'd expect from that size of book are. Safe to say it's material and in the range of about $30 million would be expected. So this is a very important and material strategic priority. If we're going to go into this area, we realized we really needed the systems and processes. And we looked at a number of options, and where we've landed after a lot of due diligence and looking at it for over about 6 months is that the acquisition of Diners Club New Zealand, DCNZ, will provide us that right base. It's got a core system base and processes that we can build off. It's got a good system, computer system, IT systems there to build off, and it will allow us to have the infrastructure of people to go forward. Moving on to people, we've recruited some of the best consumer finance executives in New Zealand, and with GCNZ, we get 50 experienced people. At the end of the day, I always say business is about people, and we're very confident in the team that we've now got through this acquisition today. In terms of products for financial services, it will take time to develop our range of products to meet our needs. Diners will stay as a premium product. That's appropriate in Noel Leeming and Torpedo 7. And we'll build other scheme cards and installment-based products around that appropriate for the market. In terms of doing this, it is a catalyst to say we do need to strengthen our balance sheet with additional equity. Two reasons, one to finance the investments necessary, but also the additional equity allows us to have the appropriate debt funding going forward as well for the financial services business and to be able to structure that appropriately. So a very clear strategy, something we've worked on behind the scenes for a long time. It's clear synergy leverage to come out of it for us to be successful in financial services. So in the next few years, going on to page 27, really the key bullet points, really. The equity raising will provide us with the additional capital base we need for our financial services business. The first new product should be coming into market by half one FY15 starting in August this year, 2015. Initially, we will expect to incur an after-tax loss of about $3 million in this half and in FY15. In FY16, we expect then to get a contribution coming from our financial services business. And by FY20, we expect to have a book of about $600 million, giving us material contribution in EBIT to the group. So moving on to the actual capital raise to fund that, I'm going to hand over to Stephen Small, our group CFO, who will take you through slides 29 and 30.
Okay, thanks, Mark. As Mark mentioned, we're looking at an equity raising today of $115 million, and that's being done to strengthen our capital base to support the financial services business. It's $115 million split across a $100 million placement and a $15 million SPP. The $100 million placement is at a 5% discount to the ex-dividend VWAP. It's fully underwritten by Deutsche Craigs. The placement will be conducted today, and the shares are going to be issued ex-dividend. The share purchase plan, a $15 million share purchase plan, open to New Zealand resident shareholders. They can apply for up to $15,000 in new shares, and there'll be further details announced on this over the next week or so. The important point at the bottom of the page, Sir Stephen Tindall and the Tindall Foundation are fully supportive of the strategic move into financial services, and they've indicated that they are going to participate in the equity raise to maintain their existing levels of ownership in the warehouse group. Page 30 just highlights a couple of the key time milestones. So placement today opens 11 a.m. We close around 3 p.m. We're in a trading halt today. It'll lift before the market opens tomorrow is the current plan. And then we're looking at an SPP with a record date of the 18th of March and allotment by mid-April. And so with that, I'll pass over to Ted Van Arkel, the Warehouse Group Chairman, to talk you through the dividend and our outlook.
Great. Thanks, Stephen. Thank you very much. The dividend. The interim dividend of 13 cents per share is fully imputed. The record date is the 12th of March 2014. The NZX has issued a waiver from the requirement to provide 10 working days prior to notice of the record date. In this instance, and accordingly, the record date for the interim dividend is 4 working days after TW Group's interim results announcement. Any shareholders wishing to adjust their shareholdings prior to the ex-date for the dividend will therefore need to make any trades prior to market close on the 7th of March 2014. The payment of the interim dividend is on the 19th of March, and the interim dividend payout represents 89% of adjusted net profit after tax. Let me now talk about capital management changes. In addition to the equity raising, we are intending to make two changes in our approach to capital management to provide us with greater flexibility moving forward. the Dividend Reinvestment Plan. The Warehouse Group is investigating the implementation of a Dividend Reinvestment Plan, which would provide us with greater flexibility as we grow our financial services business. Assuming that the board of the Warehouse Group approves the DRP during FY14, we anticipate that the earliest a DRP would be in place is for the FY15 interim dividend, expected to be paid in March or April of 2015. Our dividend policy. Current dividend policy is to pay out 90% of adjusted NPAT. In light of the group's reshaping, which has driven the ahead of the curve, investments in our multi-channel strategy, ongoing capital investment requirements across a much larger group, investments in our financial services strategy, and the additional growth opportunities that now exist, we believe it is prudent to modify our dividend policy. Our new policy will target a payout in the medium term of between 75 to 85% of adjusted NPAT. FY14 and FY15 are likely to be transitional in terms of a percentage payout due to a larger share base. And to give shareholders certainty around the level of dividend over this period, we are targeting a minimum of 19 cents per share per annum in FY14 and FY15. The FY14 dividend is comprised of the 13 cent interim dividend and a final dividend target to be 6 cents. This minimum payout is subject to no significant change in trading, ensuring we are meeting our obligations under our bank and bond covenants and are able to provide appropriate levels of funding for strategic initiatives. Our outlook and earnings guidance. On the retail environment, over the past 12 months, we have seen quarterly retail sales showing improved trends. Mark has already talked to you about this. We believe we will see gradual ongoing improvements in consumer confidence here in New Zealand in particular. The disruption in the retail market as seen by the rapid growth of online sales and digital trends will continue, and we are ready to look at the challenges. Full year guidance, as a reshaped group, we have a range of businesses at different stages of the investment and return life cycle. Consistent with our actions over the past 18 months, we will continue to invest across all of our retail brands and in our people. We are also in the early stages of a financial services strategy for the Warehouse Group, which will likely result in a small losses in FY14 and FY15, and again, Mark has highlighted those to you earlier this morning. Subject to any material change in expecting trading conditions, FY14 adjusted NPAT is forecasted to be in the range of 67 to 71 million. FY13 adjusted NPAT is 73.7. This guidance includes earnings from the Warehouse Group's existing businesses of 70 to 74 million and the FY14 half to impact of financial services, which could be a loss of up to 3 million after tax. The FY14 full-year dividend is targeted to be 19 cents per share, comprising an interim dividend of 13 cents and a final dividend target to be 16 cents. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our presentation this morning, and we're happy now to answer any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, that's 0 followed by 1 on your telephone. And your first question comes from the line of Sean Cousins from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Just a question in terms of your existing finance operations. Can you talk about who does your interest or your consumer finance in Noel Leeming and what sort of contractual obligations in terms of when you can start running on your own and when you can get out of the joint venture or do your own thing in terms of with the Westpac sort of JV in red, please?
Okay, Sean, it's Mark here. I'll initially answer and then hand over to Steve for some more detail. Basically, if you look across the group, Warehouse Stationery, Noel Leeming, and the Warehouse, the real components are as follows. We've got the JV with Westpac. This is all about the red sheds, the warehouse, where we issue a scheme card, some insurance products, etc. I'll let Steve talk about where that's at, but they're well informed of this journey. We've been talking with them now for a good 18 months about our strategic designs in this area, and they've been very constructive conversations through that. How that will exactly unwind is not fully clear, but will be a positive, constructive conversation into this year, and Steve may have some comments on that. When you look at Willow Stationery and Noel Leeming, they actually both have the same third-party partners. From a view of a card, it's GE Finance, and you've got installment products with Finance Now in both businesses. Actually, separately, they came to the same partners independently. So I'll let Steve now talk to both arrangements and how they'll unfold in the future.
Yeah, I guess the only thing to build on what Mark said, Sean, is we've got three key partners, that Mark's mentioned now. Really in the JV with Westpac, Finance Now, and with GE. We've had varying degrees of conversation with those guys over the past several months about how we look at going forward, and so varying degrees of contractual commitments, but we're pretty comfortable that with the forecast we've given on growth for this business, that we're able to meet them, based on the fact that we do have some pre-existing contractual commitments.
Yeah, all those forecasts we think are fairly prudent and take account of any existing contractual commitments on the outside end, rather than being optimistic. There could be some upside on that, on some of those.
Okay, what international retailers are you sort of looking at and saying, hey, that's a neat strategy that they've got there? Is it sort of some of the South African retailers that have reasonable sort of consumer finance businesses, or Tesco, such a large business that its sort of financial services business is effective, but obviously small on a group basis? But can you talk about what international retailers you're seeking to look at there?
Yeah, I think when we look at that, Sean, basically, if you look at Took Just Red, probably the key benchmark there would be Target in some ways, and how they've used the card in their business as well. Tesco is clearly the benchmark in terms of how financial services integrates across the group as well. Basically, for any strategy in New Zealand, and having come up from the UK and having been with Tesco and also running Walmart Logistics in Canada, I always emphasize we translate and not transfer. So benchmarks are about looking at them and then how do we translate that. There is translation, there's success, you've got a distribution model. As I said, we've got 1.3 to 1.5 million people working through our doors. All that strategically, I think, lines up. And when we look overseas, we see how that can work. Then you come to New Zealand, and the particular benchmarks in New Zealand, and probably a benchmark there would be F&P Finance, and how that developed over the years as well.
Yeah, and
Steve,
did you if we think
more?
If we think about sort of over a more longer term, the company's had dipped its toes in terms of a food expansion, and obviously going back now, and then sort of retreated there. If we think about the entry into financial services, is this a higher margin, comparatively lower capital intensity sort of business, or how should we consider this expansion given other steps that the company's made, obviously under different management and different board at the time, but another sort of very significant breakout strategy that was attempted and then when there was a retreat?
Yeah, and I think I'm pretty well placed to talk to those. Clearly there was Australia and there was food. I think the strategic logic for this stacks up a lot better, although often some of the review of those might be in hindsight. Look, I think it stacks up well, and I think I always look forward and say, how would you look at it in hindsight? We've got good experience already. We're putting in place a good infrastructure and processes and systems and people. We leverage off the existing business very well overall. And, in some ways, our destiny is in our own hands. We take about food. We were going into a market there as a number three player with two dominant players with 95% share. That was always going to be a tough call. That might be some hindsight in that that statement, but I think you'd agree with that, Sean. In terms of Australia, a completely different market, and as we discovered, with quite different competitive dynamics as well. In this case, I think it's far more in our own hands. We've got a customer base we know is coming in. We know we can sell to that customer base. We do that now. The skills that are new to us in some ways in terms of approval, process and systems, we've recruited well for that, done good due diligence. So I think there's quite a difference to this in terms of how it's positioned, Sean, overall.
All right, great. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, the command is 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, that's 0-1. And there are no further questions. Actually, we do have one that just came through. This is from Nachi Morge from Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, guys. So just on the financial services business, you talked about it being sort of comparable to the F&P finance business, and you mentioned a profit of $30 million. Is that what F&P is sort of earning now, is it? Is that what you expect 5 years from now?
The reference to the scale of a $600 million book was the benchmark with F&P. I'll let Steve comment. I'm not sure what their latest profit numbers will be, but if you do benchmarks of a book of about that scale, $600 million, that's the sort of EBIT you'd expect. But I'll let Steve talk more.
Yeah, no, and what we're trying to give you, obviously, is a bit of a steer as to what we think the size of this is 4 or 5 years out and what the earnings profile of a relatively comparable financial services business that has a similar cost of capital that we would have in a similar marketplace would be. And so, you know, that information I think is clearly available if you look back, you know, when FPF numbers were available, because they did split financial services out from the core appliance business.
So it wouldn't be based on any latest data, but their numbers were available and you can research that.
Yep. And the other thing is that you mentioned about non-red being as big as red. Just wondering, you said that you'd be starting new businesses. So just wondering, what can you give us some perspective as to which businesses or categories you'd be looking to sort of start or acquire?
Well, I mean, if you look at non-red as big as red as an aspirational goal, and I think it's an important aspirational goal, and that's why we put it there as that. If you look at that, really, you go back 2.5 years, we were just the red sheds and blue warehouse stationery. Noah Leeming is a significant vertical that's been added. Similarly, Tapira 7 around outdoor adventure sport is a new vertical as well. We've got a number of other organic seeds, as I could call them. Shop HQ, a pure play online joint venture we've got with pet.co.nz. Shortly, we'll launch a baby site, and we'll look at building and growing that business as well. And, you know, looking at the overall group, as we now look at where we are at, we do see a number of other opportunities organically, but we're not envisaging adding a major new vertical through acquisition in the medium term.
Right. So in terms of operating margins and operating profit, should we sort of be expecting startup costs to continue for the next 12 to 18 months as you create new businesses? If you can give some perspective on that.
Factored into the guidance we've given, but I'll let Steve add anything else.
Yeah, I mean, specifically to financial services, the guidance we've given is a $3 million impact in the second half of this year, and sort of up to $3 million for FY15 as we grow that portfolio of products and start to roll them out through the retail business. And then FY16, a positive contribution, and then FY20, once we get to the scale, we believe we can, you know, effectively self-acquire through our retail businesses, you know, it would form a material part of the group.
Yeah. No, the financial services is pretty clear. Just wondering, the non-finance, the other businesses which you'll create going forward as you enter new categories, do you expect startup costs to be significant going forward for the next 12 to 24 months, or how should we sort of think about that?
Well, as we said, again, I refer to the short-term guidance that's there. And basically, in those businesses, we don't see significant capital in addition to what you normally would do for stores, branding. And on the online side, the capital is relatively small.
Yeah, and it leverages some existing core competencies and infrastructure that we have, so you're not reinvesting in that to start a new business in many cases.
Right. So just from an operating margins perspective, over the medium to long term, for the non-financial services businesses, should we expect sort of margins to be similar to these levels, or do you expect an uptick in margins going forward?
Are we talking about operating margin or gross margins here?
Operating margins.
Well, I mean, on a long term, we don't give long term guidance as such. But in terms of what we don't see anything in particular that would indicate a strong downside or strong upside. We do see a bit of operating leverage, and you're seeing that in warehouse stationery coming through. But I wouldn't factor in any material change up or down in those margins.
Right. Yep. Thanks a lot. That's all from me.
And you have a follow-up question from Sean Cousins at JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks. Two questions. Just, you maybe talk a bit about the CapEx outlook for the business over the next few years in terms of, I guess from a retail perspective, and maybe you could make some commentary about how you're seeing the broader trading performance across the geographies in terms of if, you know, does it have sort of Canterbury and the like sort of performing Auckland and then Wellington as well, please. Okay, Mark, I might ask the question then. One, what's your CapEx outlook over the next few years across your retail businesses, and then if you could talk about the performance across different geographies in your retail businesses, more from a general sort of consumer, how they're performing across different geographies, please.
Yeah, so in terms of the CapEx across the retail businesses, Warehouse Norlimin, Warehouse Stationery, and Tapeta 7, clearly over the last 2.5 years, the big shift there, as you know, Sean, has been on the red sheds. Well, we've really been playing catch-up on probably 6-7 years of underinvestment in the store base. We're now two-thirds of the way through that investment catch-up, Sean. It'll continue into next year, but then we'd see it. You know, we're refitting about 24 stores a year at the moment at about $1.5 million a store. That will drop back to about 13 stores a year in about a year's time. So there'll be a tail-off there. And that would be the significant element of capital investment in the store base. Normal Neiman and Blue, it doesn't take a lot of capital to invest in that business, and we'd see that being in normal replacement rates. There'd be a little bit of an uplift in Knowles when we do the rebranding and catch up there. But again, nothing like the scale we've had to do to catch up in red. The other elements that would add to capital, but we'd look at, each of them would be taken on its own case, would be where we do any major retail developments, such as we did at Silverdale a few years ago. But we'll look at how we'll do that, and I'd see that as quite different in the overall scheme of things. So taking it back to the overall question, I'd see an overall capital investment across the retail basis is tailing down a bit as we get past the next year. Really being more tactical and still strategic, but not of the scale of catch-up like that. Yeah.
Sean, we probably 2.5 years ago, I think we laid out a 5-year CapEx plan, and we're probably tracking pretty well to that, adjusted for a little bit of CapEx for Knowles, which wasn't around at that point in time.
And
so
that's that was 70 for fiscal 15, I think, in terms of what your guidance was there. Should we sort of anticipate that that's a reasonable run rate from then on, or should Noel sort of add a little bit to that?
Noel adds a little bit to that. It wouldn't add double digit millions, but it's sort of that sort of scale in the $5 million range.
Okay, great. Thanks. Sorry, apologies, Mark.
And then the other lumpy bit is what Mark said. There's just the property, any property developments that you look at that are sort of incremental and beyond that.
Right.
There was a second part of your question, Sean.
Geographic. How are you seeing relative sort of consumer performance across areas of New Zealand, please?
I think New Zealand overall, obviously we're starting to feel a bit more confidence come through. I think there are some regional variations. How much of that is driven by what we're doing and how much is driven by the market is sometimes difficult to separate. I think the northland of New Zealand, the far north, I think everyone knows that area is struggling a bit more. Christchurch is getting benefit, and that has continued. Obviously, a lot of money going in there from reconstruction, etc. I think where we've seen good performance is Auckland. That's probably as much to do with us as the market. We've really, Auckland has seen a significant proportion of the rebranding of our stores and some really good new stores replacing some fairly old, tired stores. And so we've been particularly pleased, as we say in the update, on the Auckland performance. We've got a couple of key stores there that are still a bit tired that are about more strategic property development. But Auckland, for us, I think, has gone particularly well. I wouldn't say, besides that, that we're seeing large regional variation that you'd say there's any correlation to, Sean.
Okay, great. Thank you for that.
Your next question comes from the line of Chelsea Ledbetter from Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Okay, morning, guys. Just a question from me around the financial services business. I was just wondering if you can talk a bit more around the minimum capital requirements that's involved with that business.
I'll do a brief overview, and you probably just because everyone else is listening to the questions, so set the scene, and then hand to Steve on the detail. The capital raise is two elements. One, it raises our equity base, which allows for the debt funding necessary for a different type of capital structure of a financial services business and gives us capital for that business. So that's an important point in terms of overall context. Then I'll add to Steve to add more detail.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea, for us, when we look at it, the $115 million capital raise, we think the book in the next 5 years is sort of a $600-odd million receivables book. So really we're looking for a gearing in the sort of 80 to 85% range. So sort of 15 to 20% equity, 80 to 85% debt. And then that $115 million of capital basically allows us to do that on a going-forward basis.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for that, guys.
And you have a follow-up question from Nachi Morge from Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi guys. Just a clarification. Are the current revenues from a financial services business around $3.5 million, which is sort of reflected in that equity earnings from TWFS?
Yes, that's correct.
That's correct? Okay. Okay, thanks.
It's not revenue. It's earnings out of a joint venture, not revenue. But yes, you're correct. It's $3.5 million.
Yeah, to be clear, that's earnings from the joint venture, not...
Yeah, sorry, earnings, yeah, thanks. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, that's 01 on your telephone.
No further questions.
There are no further questions at this time, so I'll turn the conference back to today's presenters. Please continue, gentlemen.
Thank you all very much for joining and taking the time out to listen to our story. It's an exciting one. We believe we have delivered up to our sort of forecast. We are very keen to make sure that we deliver in our second half, of course, and obviously the other major one that's on the go, the capital raising, which we'll get a much better handle on later on today. So, Mark, any further comments from you?
No, I just want to thank everyone for coming on the call and... we're pretty enthused about how we're moving forward and how things are unfolding.
Okay, well, thank you once again, everyone. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. We thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.
That's great. Thank you.